We all ask questions.
Are eyebrows considered facial hair?
I've always wondered, do vegetarians eat animal crackers?
If a number two pencil's so popular, why is it still number two?
Do bald people get dandruff?
Why are power outages reported on TV? That makes no sense.
But some questions are more meaningful than others.
How do I handle all the stress in my life?
How do I discover God's will for my life and live it out every day?
I have a hard time dealing with disappointment. What does the Bible say I should do?
How can I be the parent my kids need me to be and the one God wants me to be?
What does the Bible say about dealing with difficult people? Because I know some.
Are we actually living in the end times? What does that mean for me?
So we turn to the one who has all the answers. We'll examine some of our biggest questions and discover God's best plan. Why? Because you asked for it.
All right. Welcome to part four of our series, You Asked For It. And really excited about some things happening right here. Before I go any further, I just want to give a shout out to, again, to all the dream teamers here that are just serving in so many capacities, just doing amazing things, making a difference. Also included in that dream team are our small group leaders who are doing a phenomenal job. We believe, as you just heard, that small groups are the backbone of our church because we believe that real life change happens in the context of relationships. I don't think church should ever, it was ever meant to just become and do something and go through formality and go home, roast beef, nothing changes. But when you get in relationship with one another, you begin to know one another, you begin to break it down, the masks come off, you get real with one another. Really encourage you to get into a small group, and all of our small groups are actually online at our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can go there. There's a directory, and you can figure out what works for you and just become a part of that. We have an outreach small group that just did a phenomenal job along with some other teams that just came together in our church to put together our partay on the lawn, okay? Millennials don't know. Do the millennials understand what I'm saying? Anyway, so we had a great time. It rained, but we still had a great time. Fortunately, because of the way our church is designed, we can just open this thing up and just move the party right in here. So on the next time, I think when we do a banner, we're going to say on the party on the lawn / carpet, you know, just whatever works out best. But we had just a great, great time. Lives were changed. I just believe that. And I had actually one lady that came, I'll just mention this, that came, just drove up, saw the sign and drove in. And she said that she had been recently diagnosed with cancer. I had the opportunity to pray with her, and then we were able to bless her with a couple of bags of groceries because she had some needs in her life. And that story just is just one story of several that happened yesterday. And just want to say, wow, I mean, just good job, everybody, good job. Even some of our college students came over and joined in, and I know that college students have needs. Come on, can I hear it from the college students? And we sent some bags home with some college students, and one of them spoke back to one of us and said, "Hey, I got back, and my roommate was like, wow, you know, they were just beside themselves." Say, "Hey, you little as much when God's in it, but I just thank you for making a difference, and thank you for all that you're doing for the kingdom of God and making life a difference in the lives of others." So just want to say thank you. Come on, let's give it up for everybody again. Good job, everybody. Great, great job. Well, we're in a series that we've entitled You Asked For It. And the reason for that, if you're new here today, if this is your first part of this series, let me just explain that a little bit. Back in Easter Sunday, we did a survey. And so we simply asked the question, what would you like to hear? What subjects would you like to hear? That's actually very biblical because the disciples at times would ask Jesus questions. And so they would set the agenda. He would answer their questions. And so we actually took a survey. And so this message series is based on those results. And so one of the things that you asked was, are we living in the last day? We covered that in part one of this series and how it's not told to us exactly the time or the hour, but what's really important is that it's maybe your last days. I mean, our life is a vapor, and most important question to ask is, what are we doing with the time that we do have? And we addressed that and looked at Scripture for that. And in week number two, you wanted to know about stress. Hey, you said, "Help me, I'm stressed." And so we talked about how you can speak some peace into your life, and we looked at that. Last week, we dealt with dealing with difficult people. And we said no pointing at people during the message. And so we had a great time as we just practically broke that down and what the scripture says. That all of these messages, by the way, are archived on our website. You can go on there and it's very easy to find those and you can listen to those. There's also notes online that you can download and you can follow along with that if you'd like to look back at those. Today, we're looking at a question that was asked, and that is, what's God's will? What is God's will? And so I just want to say great job in asking this question, because that's probably one of the best questions that you can ask. And because honestly, there's a lot of people that really don't care what God's will is. I'm going to live my life and it just doesn't matter. God's got his will, but I got my will. I'm going to do my thing. Leave me alone. And I just want to say good job in asking this question, because the best way to live your life is when you are surrendered to the will of God, everybody. So let's just get right into this message. There's some message notes there in your worship guide that you can refer to. We have some fill-in-the-blanks, and you can just follow along with that. We'll have the answers up here on the screen for you. Let's begin with this scripture that's found in James chapter 4 that says this: "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go do this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.'" So in other words, I got plans. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I got it all figured out. And look what the Bible goes on to say. It says that why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. You don't even know what will happen. You're bragging like you really got it all figured out. But then it asks this question. It says, "What is your life?" And it goes on to say, you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's like that vapor that comes up out of a pot of boiling water. It's just there for a moment and it's gone. That's your life. So it gives us some advice. It says, instead, you ought to say, "If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." And I got to tell you, the older I get, the more I've used this phrase, "the Lord willing." and sometimes I'll say, if the Lord willing, like if you're going to go to work the next day, you say, "The Lord willing, and I'm willing." And I'm not sure about that second part. But anyway, you know. But you learn to preface things with, "The Lord willing, I'll do this or that." And so look at 1 John chapter 2 that puts it this way. In chapter 2 of 1 John, it says, "The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." And so it's very, very important that we understand what the will of God is in our life. We are oftentimes have this decision dilemma. What are we going to do with our life? I mean, when we're younger, we ask the question, you know, do I play baseball or do I play football? You know, we got those questions. We get a little older, and we say, am I going to this college, or am I going to that college? And when we get to college, we say, is it this major, or is it that major? What am I going to major in? And then we get a little bit older, and then we say, do I marry her, or do I marry her? Or do I marry him, or do I marry him? You know, and we're trying to figure all this out. After we get married, do we have kids now or do we wait? And do we have one child or do we have eight? Some of you have decided that. Anyway, don't know why, but anyhow. And then you're ready to buy a house. Do we buy a house or do we rent for a while? And then you finally get settled in your place and you say, do we get a dog or a cat? And let me answer that question for you. That's real easy. It's never the cat. It's always the dog. Okay, cats are of the devil, dogs are from heaven. I'm just saying. Welcome to Cross Point. Glad to have you here today. Just trying to help breathe some life into you. All right, so John chapter 10, though, look at this. John chapter 10, Jesus said that my sheep know my voice, and he said that they respond to it and that they say no to other voices. They say no to the voice of a stranger and to the voice of the enemy. And so we've got to ask the question, well, how do we then really discern what is God's will? How do we know God's voice? How do we know it's not you know, leftover pizza. I mean, what is it? Is it because sometimes there's some crazy voices, you know? We just hear, and the world's got all kind of voices vying for our attention. So how do we figure that out? Well, I think there's different methods. There are some bad methods that are used. One of those is the fleece method. I don't necessarily recommend this. You know, it's like, okay, Lord, it's yes if it's raining. It's no if it's not raining. Okay, if it doesn't rain, I'll know that your answer. No, you know, I don't know that that's very, very reliable. One guy who went to Krispy Kreme donuts and he said, God, if it's your will for me to get a dozen fresh, hot, glazed Krispy Kreme donuts, let there be a space open right in front of the door, and I'll know it's your will. After four or five times around the block, there it is. It finally opened up. That doesn't always. And then there's the flip and point method. You know, have you ever used that? Just kind of flip, close your eyes, and point. There it is. One guy did that. Let me share the results of that. One guy did that, and it fell on 1 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 4 that says, Hanan seized David's men, shaved their heads, cut off their garments in the middle at the buttocks. And man, that didn't set too well. And then he flipped again, and he came to another scripture found in Luke that said, go and do likewise. So I just don't think that's really the best way to go. I know some of y'all are in shock right now, okay? All right, look, I figured that was a lot less harsh than the way I've heard that before, and that was the wind and finger method. Set the Bible in the window, and the wind would blow it, and wherever it landed, you put your finger and you point. And the guy did that, and he read where Judas went and hung himself. He said, oh, that's not good. And then it said, go and do likewise. And then he did it. I got to do another one. Did it again. It said, whatever you do, do quickly. So I'm just saying, it's probably not the best way. By the way, we believe it's okay to have a little humor in church, okay? I believe Jesus was full of life, okay? But we're going to give you some real good things today that's going to be, I'm going to give you some meat and potatoes, and we're going to give you some practical stuff, I believe, that's really going to help you. And so, but when we're looking at God's will, let's just look at this. First of all, you know, we got to ask the question, is God's will, is it broad, where I just get kind of close to it, or is it narrow and specific? In other words, if I marry the wrong person, does that put off a chain reaction that just like upsets everything? You know, how does that work? You know, like one person said, okay, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Okay, and then somebody said, well, don't, you know, worry about it. If it's your time, it's your time. You don't have to worry. But what if it's the pilot's time? Right? Good question, right? So how does this work? Well, I want to give this message to you in two parts. The first part is going to be theological, and we're going to try to understand how God's will really works. And the second part is going to be very practical. It's going to be some meat and potatoes. It's going to be cookies on the bottom shelf there. Everybody can get to it. And I believe when we put these practical steps into place in our life and really observe them all, there's a certain level of guarantee of success of really, really finding the will of God. I think it's really going to help you. But first of all, let's look at the theological approach and the understanding this. And that is, first of all, that God's will is framed, okay? It's framed, and it's kind of like the goal post of a soccer goal, right? Or it's like there's a zone that there is there. Like in golf, there's a thing called the fairway. Now, I've asked somebody to help me with this here, and they brought up some golf clubs, if you've probably noticed. And by the way, I'm not a golfer, but I got some tips before service. Okay, so I'm a professional now. But from what I understand, this is the driver, right? Anybody recognize this? Any golfers in the house? This is a driver, all right? And this is what you start with on the fairway, and this is where you tee off. I was told this morning you line it up with your belly button right there. Okay, and then you put it out, and then you pull it. I don't know. Am I doing this right? Where is my golf instructor? He says, no, I'm not doing this right. Anyway, this is a driver. All right, and this is what you hit the ball with down the fairway. Now, as long as you stay in the fairway, the game is relatively easy. Well, I don't know if I say easy, right? Is that the wrong word, golfers? Okay, it's a lot easier than getting off the fairway, right? Because from what I understand, about 20 to 30 yards off the fairway, the grass gets a lot thicker. They let it grow on purpose. It's called the rough. And so you get into the rough, and when you get into the rough, it's a lot harder hitting that hole than it would be if you would stay in the short grass on the fairway, right? So you get in the rough, and then sometimes you can't even aim for the hole. You've got to just find something. Where's my sand wedge? My pitch wedge? Okay, something. You know, and you just got to pitch it out. You got to chip it out. You know, I kept my eye on the ball. Did you see that? Kept my eye on the ball. And you just got to get it out of there and get it back into an area where it's a lot easier to make the shot. Now, some of us, excuse me there, Cody, I hit your clubs. All right, and some of us, you know, we're at the tee with this. You know, we're trying to find the hole, and we're not even off the tee, okay? This comes into play when you get closer to the hole and you fine-tune that thing, right? And you say, well, how does all that relate? Well, actually, I think it relates very much to finding the will of God, because at times we are asking questions at the tee that we really don't need to ask until we get on the putting green, okay? Because there is, check this out. There's going to be, in playing golf, there's hazards, they call it. There's the sand, there's the water, there's rock sometimes, and it becomes very difficult. Well, God's will, theologically speaking, is very similar to this, and that is that you got to get in the right zone, and when you get in the right zone, it becomes, the shot becomes a lot easier in finding God's will. So how do I know God's will? You got to get into the zone. How do I know if I should take this job or if I should marry this person? The first step is to get into the zone. Now, on one half of the fairway, I want to look at it this way, it's framed. Now, think about this goalpost of the fairway. It's framed on either side by this rough, but in the middle is this fairway. And so I want to frame this fairway with you and try to help you with this. And that's, first of all, that one side of this, one half of the fairway, is framed by, and write this down, by the sovereign will of God. That's your first point there. The sovereign will of God. Meaning, the sovereign will of God, meaning what God is doing on the earth. What God is doing on the earth. You see, God is up to something. And so do I know what it is, and am I cooperating with it? God has a will, and we're wanting to know God's will for our lives. But God's will for our lives is never outside of His will of what He's doing. They coincide. And so one of the easiest ways to understand God's will for my life is to understand His will. Jesus taught us to pray that. He said, before we pray, God give us our daily bread, we are to pray, Thy kingdom come, right? Thy will be done. So we pray, Lord, I want to align my life with what You're doing on the earth. And so first, before I get into what I think, you've got to know what's going on and what's going on in my life, Lord. We want to say, Lord, I want to know Your sovereign will. So this is, so we're going to break this down. We're going to get real practical with this in a moment. It's kind of broad at this point. But on the other side of this fairway, this goalpost, or however way you want to look at that, there's another border, there's another frame, and to get inside this zone from, and that is, first of all, there's the moral, secondly, there's the moral will of God. The moral will of God. Meaning what God has already said in His Word. What God has already said. In fact, this is a powerful word. We could almost begin with this, but what has God already said in His Word? And that is that God is already vocal on some topics. So you want to make sure you know what He is doing. That's His sovereign will. And also want to align yourself with what He has already said. Okay? What He's already said. Because He's never going to put you in a place or have a will for you that's contradictory to His Word. Amen? Amen. And so we align ourselves with the moral will of God. Let me give you an example, okay? I'm just being life-giving, and life is God's Word, okay? His Word says in 1 Thessalonians, it is God's will that you abstain from sexual immorality, that you be holy and abstain from sexual immorality. Well, the Greek word for that is porneia, which is really the definition of this Greek word. Porneia means this: any sexual sin outside of marriage between one man and one woman. Now listen to this. Anytime we get out of the fairway and out of the moral will of God, you see, it's not important whether I should buy this or that. We need to get back into the fairway. We need to come back to the moral will of God, back in the zone, right? Back in the zone of His will, where the shot is easier, where the grass is shorter. Are you following me on this? So are we following God's word? And so when we do this, when we find the sovereign will of God and we find the moral will of God, here's what then it leads to. Look at point number three, and that is the personal will of God. Then when we are there in that zone, we can find the personal will of God for our lives. God, how do I know this or that? Because it tells us what God desires for our life. What God desires for our life. Psalm 139 says that all our days are ordained and are written in God's book before one of them came to be. God has a plan. God has a will for our life. And let me give you this statement. I think this will help you. Just write this one down there in your notes. The more I know the sovereign will of God, and the moral will of God, the better I will discern the personal will of God. All right? So there's some theology we have to have before we get specific. And so there's some filter tests, some filters, or some tests that we have to put some things through. And we must begin there in that zone, in that fairway. We must align our hearts with God's will. So let me give you a couple of questions. You can write down somewhere there on your notes. And that is, first of all, we need to ask ourselves this question. That is, what am I doing then that I should not be doing? Understanding the sovereign will of God and the moral will of God, if we're really wanting to know the will of God, we need to ask this question. What am I doing then that I should not be doing? And I believe that we should ask ourselves this question every day. Every day. We need to be praying this prayer. In fact, that 139th Psalm, the last two verses of that says, "Search me, Lord, know me, test me, see if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me back to the way of everlasting." So God, search me. And if we'll do that, if we'll be willing to let the Lord come in and examine our hearts and we'll let Him speak to our life, I'm telling you, He'll put His finger on some things. And we say, "Yeah, Lord, you're right. I'm not doing that right. I'm doing wrong there. Yes, Lord." And we align ourselves with the will of God. And so we ask the Lord, is there anything that you're aware of that I'm quenching you or grieving you about? And so we give God permission to do that, and He shows us those things. And so here's the thing. I feel like my job is not just to give you a list of all the do's and don'ts. And most of the time, I think we've got the do's and don'ts. I think what the issue is that we need God's Spirit to come in and be able to change us from the inside out. And so my hope, my job, I believe, is to lead you to the God, to the God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, that is able to reveal those things to us, where you can get to that place and say, "Lord, is there something I should not be doing?" So we start there. We start with the will of God. We start in that fairway, and it becomes a lot easier. So see, first thing we need to do, again, get you in the fairway. Some of you are in the sand pit. Some of you are over there in the pond, you know. I started to refer to a crazy commercial. Y'all seen the crazy commercial about the monster, sea monster comes out of the pond and the, okay. Some of you are, you know, just are set back and we just need to get you into the fairway. The second question I believe we need to ask is, what am I not doing that I actually should be doing? What am I not doing that I actually should be doing? And so, because if God is doing something on earth, wouldn't it make sense if I need to cooperate with God's will? Because God's will needs to coincide. I need to do what I'm doing needs to be coinciding with His will. And so what am I not doing that I should be doing? And so, in fact, that's why one of the things that we really emphasize around here is helping you find your purpose. What is it that God's designed you for that you should be doing? That's why I gave the shout out a while ago to the Dream Team. We have a growth track where we help you find what your purpose is. It's great to know that you were born, but it's a more even wonderful thing to know why you were born, right? And help you find your purpose and help you live that out and fulfill God's purpose. And I want to tell you, when you do that, when you really begin to operate in what God's called you to do, it brings a clarity to you. It helps you see the whole on the green a lot easier. It helps you really put some things in perspective, and it clarifies. And I'm saying this not to help the church, but to help you find God's will for your life and purpose for you. And so we need to get into the zone. So when we get into the zone, God's sovereign will, his moral will. We know his personal will for us. Then there's now some decisions we make. We're getting closer to, okay, to the putting green, right? Getting closer to the hole. So then we say, well, okay, what about some of these decisions I need to make? I want to give you some tests that you can put this through as a filter to help you discover God's will. This is where it gets really practical. 1 John chapter 4 says this, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God." So test them. So don't believe every spirit. Let me put it to you this way. Not every impression. Not everything that looks fun to do. Don't trust those, but instead, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And so how do we do that? Well, the good news is the Bible is very clear and offers filters and tests that you can put your decision-making process through. What school am I going to do? Should I move to that town? Should I marry this guy? You know, so what, and it helps us with that. So I'm going to give you 6 tests to put all these things through, and we're going to just go through this. I think this is really going to help you. First of all, we ask this question, am I in a right relationship with God? And these are not necessarily in any particular order, but I think this is a good place to start. Am I in a right relationship with God? Now, are you in the rough or are you on the fairway? So start there. Before I make a decision, you know, we don't make a decision because I'm hurt or because I'm wounded or because I'm going to retaliate, but we're going to see how close, here's the deal, see how close you can get to God when you're trying to make a decision. See how close you can get to him on daily decisions, on big decisions or small decisions. And those big decisions, I might encourage you to do some fasting and praying, and you'd be surprised how clear you can get in your thinking when you just clear out some of the other voices, all right? So prayer and fasting, we do that around here. We do a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year, and we did it again in August. We have 21 days of prayer in August where we just seek God because we want clarity, we want to hear his voice. I mean, there's a lot of directions we can go, but when you get God's will, it doesn't just tell you what to do, it tells you also what not to do, right? Right? And so get some clarity. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says this, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So don't be conformed to this world, to the whims or to the feelings. You can't trust those, but be transformed. Let God change you from the inside out and how you think, and it's going to change everything. So use that test. Second thing I want to point out, and that is, first of all, or secondly, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We could actually have put this one first on the list as well. It's because you really need to begin there. So am I considering something that's outside of God's will? I've heard of people coming, and I heard of one person that came to a pastor that she was considering marrying this guy. And she said, but he's not a believer. He's not a Christian. But she said, but I think I can get him saved. That's what we call missionary dating, okay? and so the counsel came back to her as to, you know, first of all, you look at what the Bible says about that. 2 Corinthians, there's a verse that says, "Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, for what fellowship does light have with darkness?" And oftentimes when you go that route, guess what? You'll find out it's going to crash. It has the potential of crashing and burning, right? And so the advice is, I would slow down the romantic side and see if he receives Jesus. But here's the thing: he'll say yes, 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 yes until he gets married, and then he's going to go back. Trust me, this is good advice. Everybody say, that's good advice. All right. So start, okay, with what does the Bible have to say about that? Because you need a leader in your home. You need things right, okay? So look at Luke chapter 21. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." All right? So let me give you some great advice here. Don't change God's word. In fact, God's word doesn't change. In the midst of culture change, and there's a lot of change happening right now in culture and even blows my mind, but even in churches, And you say, well, but times are different, Pastor. Let me just tell you, Word of God lives forever. I'm saying it as life-giving and as loving as I can. The Word of God lives forever. It never passes away. So here at Cross Point, we are not following culture. We are following the Word of God. We're following the Word of God. So with no apologies. So, well, that's a little harsh. Well, Jesus, the Bible says, came with grace and truth. Grace is saying, I don't condemn you. Truth is saying, but go and sin no more. That was not right. Okay? And so we need, but, well, that's not very loving. Well, the scripture also tells us that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Truth and love go hand in hand. So because the truth is what's going to set you free. Okay? So there's nothing more loving than God's word of truth to you to give you the best life that God has for you. Amen? Is this all right? All right. All right. Didn't lose anybody. Everybody breathe in, breathe out. Whew, yeah. All right. Point number four. Ask this question. What would Jesus do? Remember the bracelets? WWJD. Why do we have those? Because there's sometimes in our life where things well up in us and anger, and we need to pause and reflect. And how would? And here's the question we need to ask. How would the spirit of Jesus, the personality of Jesus, the temperament of Jesus respond to this situation? And you need to do the same thing with God's will. So we ask, if I do this, does it carry the spirit of Jesus? James chapter 3 says this, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, which is the opposite of what Jesus would do in your hearts, then it says, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Don't we say, well, I'm going to do the right thing. It's how I feel. It don't matter. I'm going to do what I, that's how I feel. Okay, look. It says, don't deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, this is what we ask God, let this be what we have. First of all, they're pure. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Amen? So does it carry the spirit of Jesus? Look at point number four. Have I sought godly counsel? Have I found someone in my life who loves God that I can talk with about this and talk through this? And with this, I would say, you don't always necessarily do everything the person tells you to do, but consider it, okay? Consider it. But we need a multitude of counselors in our life. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. I have counselors over me. I have overseers. I have mentors. I have accountability. I have people I talk to. I have family I talk to. But I got some people that are a lot wiser than I am that I go to when I need counsel, when I need advice, and they help me. I recommend that for every person here. You need people that you can talk to, that you can sound things off from. Look at this. Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but advisors make victory sure. So don't do any of these steps by themselves, but put all these together if you really want to know God's will. Look at point number five. Do I sense God's peace? Do I sense God's peace. Now this one, you got to be a little bit careful with. Throughout Scripture, God doesn't speak through the wind and through the thunder and through the lightning, but He speaks in a still, small voice. And we need to make a decision to never step out of God's peace. And we need to check our spirit. We've got to be careful with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Okay? He's not the author of confusion, but He's the author of peace. But we've got to be careful. All right? Just taking my time with this one. You've got to be careful. Because sometimes a person can come along and say, well, I have a peace about doing this. But what they're really wanting to do is outside of God's word, and it directly contradicts God's word. And you can't always go, well, I just feel good about this in my heart. Well, I guess you do. But you got to be careful with this, all right? I heard of a story of a woman who came, and she came to the pastor, and she wanted to know God's will, she said. But what she wanted to do was she wanted to leave her husband, and not only her husband, but her kids, to go explore this new relationship. Now, how many knows that's contradictory to God's word? And so what the person was saying was, I just feel good in my spirit. I feel good about this. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel in your spirit. That's why I said you got to be careful about this. You need to try the spirit. They wanted to pursue this relationship with this person that they met on a tennis court, and they're asking the pastor, is this all right? Well, I have a peace in my spirit. It's not a peace that comes from God, because it directly contradicts God's word. So what I'm saying is, what I'm throwing at you today, you got to take it all into context. And when you do all that, it begins to pull you into the fairway where you can really find God's will. But you need to have a peace, and you need all these other tests as well. Can I get a good amen right there? All right. Number six, ask this question. Is it my will or God's will? Is it my will or is it God's will? And really, if you wanted this sermon a lot shorter, probably a lot of you do. We could have done this in about 3 minutes and just covered this one right here. Because one of the healthiest practices as a believer, if you want spiritual maturity, I'm going to give you a statement. If you're a believer today and you really want to grow up in God, you need to start with every day saying, Lord, today I'm going to have some desires. Today I'm going to have some temptations. Today I'm going to have some opportunities. And my prayer is not what I want, but what you want. That's what I want. All right? So Jesus so beautifully modeled this for us. When the night before the cross, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know the story. Most of you know the story. On Thursday night, he was there late praying. The Bible says that he was praying until his sweat became as drops of blood. He was there probably where he could overlook the city. He knew what laid ahead of him, how he was going to be beaten and scourged and bruised and torn and nailed to the cross in the most cruel fashion ever known to mankind. And he was facing that. While he was facing that, he knelt down and he prayed. And he was 100% man and 100% God. And you can hear this in this scripture. Matthew chapter 26, he says, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. I don't want to do this. It's not what I want to do. There's another way. But then without hesitation, he says, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he modeled that for us. And that's where we have to get to if we really want to know the will of God. Lord, not my will, not what makes even sense to me. Not according to human logic, not according to culture, what's going around me, not according to my feelings, God. But God, let me get in the fairway of your sovereign will, your moral will, your personal will. Let me know your will. And God, at the end of it all, God, not my will, not what I think, God, but your will be done. And when we get to that point, I'm going to tell you, your life's going to change. You're going to experience freedom. He was able to pray, your kingdom come. That's what he taught us to pray, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I would encourage us all, every day, we need to get on our knees. Even if it's just for a few minutes, every day, you need to hit your knees to the ground just as a posture of surrender and say, tell the Lord, Lord, today, it's not me. Not me today, Lord. Not me. I want your will to be done. I need your wisdom. I need to hear your voice. I need to submit to your will. You see, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but they don't want God's will. They just want God to bless their will. Or they do it conditionally. They say, God, I want what you want if or but. Can I give you some advice? You can't live that way and know the will of God. The only way you can know the will of God is to live a life that's truly surrendered to Him. It's the only way. It's the only way. So look at this point today, there in your notes. I want what God wants. I want what God wants. Period. Period. Luke chapter 9 says this, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself," what I think, "and take up his cross and daily, and follow me." I want to lead you through a couple of minutes of prayer as we close today. And I always want to say to you, the best thing that you can do today is to surrender your life to God. Can I tell you this? There's a peace on the other side of that. You say, well, that sounds a little harsh. I gotta just surrender everything. Let me tell you, there is a peace on the other side of that. And the fact is, we're just not that good at organizing our own life. We're just not. When we surrender and we do it His way is better. The most beautiful thing you can do is to put your life in His hands. And honestly, folks, that's what salvation is. It's not attending a church. It's not even joining a church. All those things are great, but it's really not that. It's giving our life completely to Him. It's surrendering all. It's simply saying, not my will, but your will be done. I like to have heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. And today, if you'd like to surrender your life to the Lord, you would like to surrender your will to the will of God. For some of you, you may have never done that before. You've never given Jesus everything. Others of you, you've done that, but you've walked away. And if the truth really be known, He orders part of it, but you order part of it. And you're saying today, Pastor, the Holy Spirit's dealing with me, and I'd like to give Jesus my life today. We're not going to make you stand up or come to the front, but I just want to simply lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. But if that's you today, when heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you'd say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer of surrender, I want to be included without hesitation and with boldness. If that's you, would you just slip up a hand? I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. If that's you here today, and you say, today, as you pray that prayer, would you include me in that prayer? Again, I'm not going to embarrass you, have you stand up or come to the front, but I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. You just slip up a hand and you can put it right back in. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Would you just simply pray this prayer? I'm just going to help you with the words, but just make it your own. Just pray something like this. Just say, Jesus, today, I surrender my life to your control. I trust you. I love you. I thank you for loving me. Thank you for paying for my sins. Thank you for your forgiveness. Come live inside of me and make me brand new. With all that I have, and with all that I am, I'm going to follow you with everything. Say this beautiful phrase. Say, I give you my life.